Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This is an Odyssey original.
This is the War in Ukraine Daily. I'm Mike Simpson from the KNX Odyssey Studios in Los Angeles. Today, we talk once again to a Ukrainian in Kyiv who believes his country will prevail as Russia decides to change its military approach. Putin clearly unhappy with his army's inability to quickly defeat Ukraine, so he's appointed a new general to take charge. The nickname is the Butcher of Syria. We'll talk with a pair of analysts to see what this means. But we start with Kirill, who lives in Kyiv. We spoke to him last week about what things are like in the capital, also about his friend who was in Bucha, where Russia's accused of committing war crimes. Kirill, Russia regrouping, targeting the eastern part of your country. What do you think the next few weeks or months are going to be like?
I think next months or weeks, but I still think months will be the most important, because they're gonna be fight at the east, and I think it will be crucial fight. But I believe that our forces will win eventually, because the morale of Russians is very low, and the morale of our people, our military, is very high. Still, we are not exhausted morally. They are. If you listen some of the conversation between the Russian soldier with their relatives, like wives or mothers, they just exhausted. They have a really, really low moral. They don't understand why they was brought to this war. So, I believe Ukraine will win eventually. Russia... Russian militaries and Russian forces bringing new horrible stuff, like I don't know if you heard this, but maybe our goal, there have been a message from our forces from Mariupol, from Azov, and they say that Russian attacking the city with chemical weapons. So I don't know what Russia bring next, but chemical weapons is just something that it's horrible. And there is not only our forces in town, there is still a lot of people.
You know, I can hear the resolve in your voice, and that's the feeling that we've get with all the people that we've talked to, is there is a resolve to stay and fight and win in Ukraine. And then the conversation turns to, what does winning look like to you there as a Ukrainian on the ground? Russians already control some portions in the south and east. There's Crimea, and President Zelensky in his interview last night said that we are not prepared to negotiate on whether Russia can have Crimea. So how does that feel to you, winning in Ukraine? Does that mean all Russians out of Ukraine and all of your territory in your hands? Or do you feel like yourself, maybe, and some other people around you are willing to, like, well, they can have this part if they leave the rest of us alone? How do you feel?
I don't think we're not in that point that Russia can have anything from Ukraine, because this is an opponent that you can give something. We can give Crimea to them. We can give Donbas areas to them. We can give any piece of our land. And there will be no victory if we do this, because Russia are always come back. And if we gave something, they just come back eventually. 2 years, 3 years, 10 years, they always come back. So, yeah, the victory, or I believe only in victory on our terms. And I believe in the victory when Russia goes out from our territory, including Crimea, including parts of Donbas that they occupied. So, for me, yes, the process of this can be long. I understand that this war can have some rounds, and yeah, we can have rounds. First round, and maybe in 2 years, second round, and maybe third, and so it can be very painful and long war. But eventually, I believe that victory will be ours. And that victory means that we have Crimea back.
That's Kirill there from Kyiv. We've spoken to him a number of times now. Kirill, thank you. And we're glad that you are still safe and that we can still speak, and we hope to do so again. It is no secret that Russian President Putin is unhappy with the way the war is going. He's expected his army's invasion to be swift and easy. That's what he did expect. But Russia's inability to take the capital of Kyiv has forced him to change his approach. Russia's decided to shift its focus to eastern Ukraine, and there's a new general in charge of the war efforts. John Spencer, retired U.S. Army major. John, what do we need to know about this new general who's now leading Russia's war efforts?
Yeah, absolutely. So he's known as the Butcher of Syria. So we can clearly expect him to get even worse. But he of course, can only whip, you know, these Russian soldiers into... There's only so much that a leadership can do. These Russian soldiers are demoralized, broken apart, high casualties. It is concerning. He has experience in the Donbass. He was a commander there before. He's potentially their golden boy. So it's interesting, but not, I don't think, major. There's only so much he can do.
How much do you think they're going to try to do? And there's some reporting that there's a little bit of a timeline here. There's a victory day in Russia that is about a month away or something, and Putin wants that to be some sort of big celebration.
Yeah, so there's mixed views on whether May 9th, you're basically them celebrating the victory over the Germans in World War II. I think he's pushing, he needs a win fast, not just because of that victory day, but because he's losing control, and it costs a lot to have this many soldiers deployed in war. But he's also suffered a major defeat. He has to win. So I think he is pushing them harder than he ever has in the past, brought in a new commander, holding them to high standards. He's doing crazy things to recruit troops. I mean, everything from bringing in 65-year-old men as conscripts and bringing in, you know, mercenaries, just desperate acts, trying to get a win quickly.
What happened to the Russian military? There was a feeling when all this started that the Russian military was greatly to be feared, that they would accomplish their goal of decapitating Ukraine and basically overrunning the country within a matter of a week or two at most. Kyiv was going to fall in 3 days. And then here we are bogged down. We've got reports that some Russian soldiers are, as you say, demoralized. They don't understand why they're there. They don't like being there. Some of them are cutting and running. And then on the other hand, we've got word that some soldiers are committing atrocities, deliberately targeting civilians, or stories of rapes on the ground and the killing of children. So what happened to the Russian military, and how did the West get our assessment of their military so wrong?
Yeah, I mean, there's no certainties in war. And I think we all thought Russia was this big, bad military based on what they had done up to this point to modernize their military, the numbers, the advancements in artillery and robotics, experiences from Syria. But where it got wrong, and I think that we all got it wrong as in the world, was underestimating the power of the will to fight in Ukraine. So the military, of course, has been highly trained. The U.S. has been advising them for a long time, prior to 2014, on how to improve the Ukrainian military. But there was a numbers problem, but there was also a capabilities problem, and all those weapons, every one of them helped. But I think Russia and the world underestimated the will to fight, which is huge in war. You can't just look at the numbers. And clearly, like you just said, the Russians didn't have that. And as an old soldier myself, I know how important that is. I mean, we have our own history of just a small, literally just a few men, highly motivated and dedicated to the cause and fighting for each other, and believing in the cause they're doing. From the Civil War, Chamberlain, you name it. There's so many examples. And I think we underestimated not only the Ukrainian military, but the territorial defenses and the civilians actually taking up arms. In general, plus, I mean, the Russians got taught a lesson that the defense is always harder. So the Russians really made more mistakes, clearly, but they also gave the Ukrainians time to defend their cities. And once you defend a city, I mean, that goes back centuries. I mean, there's this old Chinese guy who said, the worst strategy you could ever do in war is attack a besieged city. That was true in 2,000 years ago, and it's true today.
John Spencer, retired U.S. Army major, and the upcoming book, Connected Soldiers, Life, Leadership, Social Connections in Modern War. Short break, and then a retired Air Force colonel gives us more intel on this new man in charge of Russia's army. We heard in the last segment about how brutal Russia's new general can be. He got that nickname, the Butcher of Syria, for his efforts in that country. Retired United States Army Colonel Cedric Layton spoke to Bridget Quinn on 1010 Winds in New York City about what we can expect from Russia's military moving forward.
General Alexander Dvornikov is a very typical Russian officer in this particular situation. He is going to put out all the stops. He's going to go after populations, and it's going to be a very gruesome and bloody affair, unfortunately, unless this war stops. But as long as the war is on, we can expect a lot of brutality, a lot of train station attacks or events similar to what we saw in Bucha, and that is not a good thing, obviously.
Right. And we've seen so many civilian attacks already, even with this General Dvornikov not in charge. Might Russia go a step further and look to use chemical weapons?
Well, General Dvornikov has used those weapons when he was in Syria, or at least he was in charge of the forces that used them. So likely that could happen. I hope it doesn't, but it's certainly something that is in the realm of possibilities, yes.
With Russia now apparently making a push in the east of Ukraine, what else might they do differently given their inability to take the capital, Kyiv?
So some of the things that they're going to do differently, Bridget, will depend a lot on the terrain in the east part of Ukraine. It's a flat area. It's known as the steppes, and it is really ideal for tank warfare. And that will make it a lot easier for them to maneuver their forces. It's also getting out of the muddy season. During the time that they were going after Kyiv, there was a lot of issue with flooding and mud-filled roads and areas that would prevent them from moving forward. We don't have that, generally speaking, in most of the east. So you could see a lot of tank maneuvering being done by the Russians, and the Ukrainians trying to respond to that. Some people think that we'll see battles like we had in World War II. Those, of course, were on a massive scale. They were in the same area, and in one case in 1942, there were over 277,000 Russians were either killed or wounded in eastern Ukraine as they were fighting the Nazis in that period. But, you know, for this particular war, the numbers are going to be smaller, but it's still going to be lethal and brutal. But what could also happen is that there will still be some small unit attacks like we had around Kyiv. And that would, of course, be an advantage for the Ukrainians.
Colonel, also a potential advantage for the Ukrainians if they get more anti-tank weapons, right? I mean, I know Zelensky has been asking again and again, and his you know, underlings have been asking weapons. Colonel, what weapons specifically could they use from the U.S. that they haven't been able to procure thus far?
So the ones that they haven't been able to procure in great quantity are the T-72 tanks. Those are Russian-made tanks that go back to the Soviet era. But the Russians have them, and the Ukrainians have them, and the Ukrainians know how to use them. So that would be one weapon that the Ukrainians could use that they need much more of. We also expect them to use drones or continue to use them. The Bayraktar drone is from Turkey. That is one that they have used to great effect. But there are several other drones, such as the Switchblade drone from the U.S. That's kind of a kamikaze drone, as it's known. And that goes in and it actually attacks the target and explodes and disappears into the target. So it's great for armor. It's great for targeting other, you know, parts of the an infantry unit, and also for targeting armored personnel carriers. So this is the kind of weaponry that the Ukrainians can expect. Of course, they would love to have air jets, especially those that can go after massed units. And that's something they're not going to get beyond what they already have. But in the ideal world, that's what they would be getting. And they would want to be able to use those very quickly, of course.
As the war goes on, we're learning more about the atrocities committed by Russia's military. The mayor of the Ukrainian port city of Mariupol says more than 10,000 civilians have died since Russia invaded in February. He told the AP that bodies are throughout the streets of the city, and there are still more than 100,000 people in the city who need food and water. This is an Odyssey original. Find us and others on the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and on Stitcher.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. you focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.